It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. More than half the nation's governors are saying Syrian refugees are not welcome. This is in direct contrast to President Obama, who says subjecting refugees to religious tests is shameful. And here in Pittsburgh, as you just heard, Mayor Peduto remains steadfast in welcoming refugees, saying we cannot close our eyes or our hearts to the opportunities they need. Since the tragic events that rocked Paris last Friday, the world has been on high alert. So how should the nation be reacting to the terrorist event that shook Paris? We're joined now by phone by Michael Botta. He is associate professor and chair of the Department of Criminal Justice and Intelligence Studies at Point Park University and a former counterterrorism special agent. Michael Botta, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Cities across the United States have increased their police presence since the Paris shootings. In your opinion, how should we as a country be reacting to last week's events? Because we're still hearing that it isn't a matter of if ISIS will strike the U.S., but when.
Well, you know, I agree with that. I don't think that we have to overreact, but we have to be vigilant, definitely. And by that, I mean, especially with intelligence, the federal agencies have to share whatever actionable intelligence they may come across with state and local authorities. They are our front line. This is the way you prevent, or at least move towards the prevention of such catastrophe. Sharing and vigilance are certainly two key components of preventing such occurrence.
Now, as you've heard, many governors are saying that refugees are not welcome in their states. Are they overreacting?
Well, I think they are. I honestly do. Look, we are a nation of refugees. I agree with the mayor of the city of Pittsburgh with this. My own grandfather escaped the tyranny of Benito Mussolini to come here. So we can't close our hearts and minds to that. But again, the key word is vigilance. We have to make sure who we're letting in here from these war-torn nations, and we have to vet them, and then we have to be able to provide for them in some way. We just can't do anything helter-skelter.
There are reports that some refugees who don't have records that would raise any red flags, so therefore they are able to come into a country, for example, or a continent in Europe, for example. It's been reported that one of the individuals who was involved in the terrorist activities in Paris last Friday was someone who was able to come in along with a wave of refugees and had a, you know, didn't have any kind of record, nothing that would have raised red flags for security officials. He hadn't done anything or been involved in anything that any authorities could connect him to.
Right.
So then he's able to enter Europe. I'm sure a lot of Americans are looking at this and saying, could someone like that enter the United States the same way and pose the same kind of threat?
Well, and anything's possible, and you really, there's always going to be times when things slip through the cracks. But again, the key word is vigilance. You have to tighten up your checks, your rechecks, not only be cooperating with state locals in our country, we've got to expand this cooperation with other countries. The sharing of intelligence, the sharing of information. We do that to a certain point now, I think, but in today's global climate, with these ambivalent, nebulous forces out there, we have to find a way to step up that cooperation. Inevitably, somebody's going to get through. You know, it's a shame, but it does happen.
So when you've used the word vigilant several times in the course of our conversation here and, you know, talked about checks and all of that, what are we looking for? What should we as average citizens bumping around with folks in public, what should we be vigilant
for? Well, I wouldn't say we should be looking for things, but we should have a heightened sense of awareness. We've become too lax. It's been, 13, 14 years since the attacks of 9/11. We, as a people, and even some of our authorities, as well, okay, we had our attack. It's not going to happen again. It's a shame. You don't want to live in fear, but you can't live in denial either, especially with what we've just seen happen in Paris. What to look for? anything suspicious, there should be a conduit for people to call somebody. You know, you call local police, it may be difficult to get through to somebody. We do have fusion centers established by the Patriot Act, just about every city, that is supposed to take suspicious information and filter that down. The public has to be made aware of this.
And what are the signs? What are the things, what are the specific things that should raise our suspicions?
Well, the social media has become a conduit for communication between like-minded people of this type of caliber. That should be monitored and looked at by people. If they look at something suspicious, someone making claims of hatred or violence, even in the street or in a bar, it has to have some place to be filtered. Okay, it has to be vetted by authorities. But it's difficult. You know, those who are truly, if you will, mindset of terrorism, they're not going to spout off their desires. It's very difficult to point it out. But you know, there are ways. But those are up to local officials to lay down guidelines where people can go if they feel something suspicious, they think a person is suspicious, for whatever reason, they should have to have some place to go to vet that, to have that looked at by somebody.
It's Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking with Michael Botta. He's associate professor and chair of the Department of Criminal Justice and Intelligence Studies at Point Park University. He is a former counterterrorism special agent. Michael, I was walking along the Riverwalk to the Steelers game the other day, saw the helicopter in the air, noticed the increased security at the stadium. You know, that's an event where you have some 60,000 plus people gathering, and a thing that would be, unfortunately, a perfect target for terrorists. So in a situation like that, what are the authorities looking for, and what should we as average citizens be concerned about seeing?
Well, the authorities naturally should be looking for suspicious behavior. There should be checkpoints for weapons and things of this nature. Inside the stadium, those who are in charge of security should be very wary of a possibility that could arise. As citizens, now naturally, you don't want citizens to overreact or panic, but they must feel protected. And we have to do that. The helicopters, all the security measures, they're not 100%. They're just not. They're never going to be. But it's a good step. It heightens our awareness, and it also makes us more comfortable, if you will, to know that there's a presence there.
The timing of this tragic event in Paris, and of course it's not the only one, there were others, including the what is now being apparently attributed to a bomb, the downing of the Russian plane with over 200 passengers over the Sinai Peninsula. The timing of all this has come right before the current G20 summit. How do you think this will impact countries fighting the Islamic State?
Well, I could only hope that this will cause collaboration among nations. Right now, we have some of that, but we don't have the. My question is, where's the European Union? What action are they taking? Where's NATO? Okay, we've got to be together in this. The United States cannot fight this ISIS fight alone. We just can't. We need our partners. We need our allies. Hopefully this G2 summit will bring that to the forefront, where it just won't be a promise. It'll be actual action taking, particularly, again, in the sharing of intelligence, of tracking these people, identifying, knowing where they might be likely to hit. We have a great intelligence agency. We do. But so do a lot of other foreign countries. We must work together. This is an ambivalent enemy. This is an enemy without really borders, although we've honed it in on Syria because of the circumstances there. They are global, and we've got to work together. Hopefully this summit will not just be lip service. We'll actually, after this tragic event, be able to move forward in the sharing of information and action.
Senator John McCain has made the statement that you can fight ISIS there, or you can fight them here. That's your choice now. And obviously the president wants to fight them here. And again, those are the words of Arizona Senator John McCain, who, of course, was a candidate for president back in 2008. What do you think of that statement?
Well, I find it kind of a broad statement, a do-or-die statement. Certainly, the senator is correct in his thoughts that we've got to take up a fight. We really do. But I don't think we should be in that fight alone. This has to be a collaborative coalition effort. We don't want to fight them here. But look, if they're here, and I'm sure they are, in my personal opinion, I'm sure they're here. I'm sure there's ISIS cells here. We've just got to get a plan to fight. I don't particularly like the senator's statements. I think I understand where he's coming from. He's asking for action from the administration. Okay. And quite frankly, I think it's time for action.
And a lot of people are anticipating that if ISIS were to strike in the United States, that they would look at a target like New York or Washington. But as we know from 9/11, a target not too far from here in Pennsylvania was also hit. What about Pittsburgh in terms of what kind of preparations should this city be thinking about to fight terrorism, even though we're not an obvious target? We could be a target.
Yeah, we could. Any place could be a target. And there's each city has its own resources. Okay, each city has its own available techniques and police departments to coordinate things. I think we have done a great job in the city of Pittsburgh. Our police department has been good. We have a fusion center here, which I know is sharing information with state and local officers provided by the federal government. So, what can we do? Continue what we're doing. Continue what we're doing. Just, have the helicopters flying over the stadium. The noise doesn't bother the game so much. Have the increased police presence outside of the stadium. Make sure people feel comfort. And, of course, just, again, be vigilant.
We've been talking to Michael Botta. He's associate professor and chair of the Department of Criminal Justice and Intelligence Studies at Point Park University, and a former counterterrorism special agent. Professor Botta, thank you so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Well, thank you for having me.
Coming up, we'll look at what the Supreme Court is doing about the issue of implicit bias with Pitt Law Professor David Harris. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.